Ephesians chapter 3. This evening, we are going to consider the 24th question and answer, the Westminster Shorter Catechism. The question reads, how doth Christ execute the office of a prophet? And this truth is the question is answered with this truth. Christ executed the office of a prophet in revealing to us by his word and spirit the will of God for our Ephesians chapter 3. And so we're going to consider this evening the subject of how Christ executes that prophetic ministry in his exaltation. And what I mean by that, in his exaltation now. His humiliation was his sojourn in the flesh on earth. And his exaltation is where he sits now at God's right hand, having ascended up into heaven. And how today in 2012 does Christ execute that prophetic ministry that we believe the Bible teaches and confess in our catechism? So to consider this passage from the Scriptures, let's look at, or this truth from the Scriptures, we're going to look at Paul's prayer in Ephesians 3, 14 through 19, and then Paul's revelation of Christ's exalted ministry in verses 7 through 14 of Ephesians chapter 4. So give your attention to the reading of God's Word, Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, for whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then look over to Ephesians 4, verse 7. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness, in deceitful schemes. Would you pray briefly with me? Father in heaven, we pray again, for you to bless the reading and preaching of your word, and we ask that you would make us alert to understand your word. If your spirit does not open it up to us, we realize it will fall flat and useless to the ground. And so we pray that you would make this means of the preaching of the gospel and the preaching of your word a means of grace for the sanctification of saints and the salvation of sinners and the preparing us for heaven. We ask this all in Christ's name. Amen. In John 1:17, near the close of the prologue, the Apostle John wrote this. He said that grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And it is true, as we have studied the Gospel of John, that Jesus did reveal to us the will of God for our salvation before his crucifixion. He called the world to repent and believe in him because the kingdom of God is at hand. He called the world to receive him as the Christ and the Son of God, and then to have eternal life. And Jesus Christ both prayed for the unity of the disciples, and he taught us how to live as one, as his disciples. In those days of Christ's ministry here with us 2,000 years ago must have been wonderful days. You could take whatever problem that you faced to Jesus Christ in person, in the flesh. You could ask any question you had of him, and he would answer you according to God's perfect will in the flesh, and you could hear him right there. You could see him speak. But you see, we live in 2012. We don't live in 30 AD anymore. And it often appears like we are stuck here on our own. And we can no longer reach out to have Jesus touch us with his loving arms and to embrace our fearful hearts. We cannot find him and ask him to answer our questions and sit down at a table and listen to his voice come from his lips and speak to our ears. Yet the problem is we still face the same fear and anxiety and doubt and confusion that humans faced when Christ walked on this earth. But there is good news that the Bible teaches us about Christ. You see, Christ still reveals to us God's will for our salvation. Christ still does, though he is located in physically in his body in heaven, he still speaks to us here today. And Christ reveals to us his will in two ways. He reveals it to us through the external revelation of his word. And he reveals God's will for our salvation to us through the internal revelation of his spirit. And that is the exalted prophetic ministry of Christ that we experience today. And it's not an inferior ministry, but it is a glorious ministry. And so let us examine what Paul wrote to try to understand this part of the prophetic ministry of Christ that we benefit from today. And let's look at our first point, his external revelation in John 4, 7 through 14. After Jesus went to the cross and died, the Father exalted Christ through the resurrection and the ascension to his right hand. In Ephesians 4, 8, Paul draws our attention to the exalted ministry of Christ, the fact that he has been exalted. And there in verse 8, he wrote, "When Christ ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men." From his exalted state as our mediatorial king at God's right hand, he also served as our mediatorial prophet, and he gave us gifts. And look at what those gifts are in verse 11. He gave us, we who still lived and as pilgrims on the earth, he gave us the apostles. He gave to the church the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. You see, Christ built up the church through these external officers and offices of the church. And so we're going to consider the ministry that Paul speaks about, and basically two of those, the ministry of the apostles and prophets, as I'm putting together as one, and the ministry of the pastors and teachers. Now, the apostles and the prophets in most Presbyterian churches would say the evangelists were extraordinary offices that Christ gave to the church. And Christ no longer calls apostles or prophets to serve in his church anymore. But we still have the abiding ministry of the apostles, especially. You see, Christ called the apostles after his exaltation to preach the gospel, didn't he, to Jerusalem, to Judea, and to the ends of the earth. And we see that as that apostolic mission work of the Great Commission. But you see, Christ called the apostles to another work and another function as well. The other work of the apostles was what primarily abides with us today. Remember what Jesus promised the apostles in John 16:13. He said, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come." In another place, Christ says that the Spirit will take what is mine and give it to you. You see, in essence, Christ promised to send the Holy Spirit to his apostles so that he could reveal more to them than he revealed in his earthly ministry. And the New Testament scriptures are the results of this revelation of Christ through his Spirit to the apostles. But not just the New Testament scriptures, the Old Testament scriptures were also Christ's revelation to us through the prophets by God's Spirit. And that is what 1 Peter 1:10 reveals to us about the Old Testament. And so consider how Paul understood his prophetic and apostolic ministry back in Ephesians 3, verses 4 and 5. There he wrote, "When you read this," meaning this epistle, this letter that Paul wrote, "you can perceive my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was made known to the sons of men in other generations." I'm sorry, "which was not made known to the sons of men in other generations, as it has now been revealed to us," or to his holy apostles and prophets, "by the Spirit." You see, Paul knew that he didn't write his own wisdom or revelation. He believed and knew that he wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ to the church. You see, the mystery of the gospel was unfolded by the Spirit of Christ that he sent to the apostles. And they went out and preached that word. And through the inspiration of the Spirit, wrote it down so that it could be canonized and preserved for the church of all times. The Bible, the Old and New Testament, is the revelation of Jesus Christ to us through the apostles and the prophets. And in it, Christ reveals the will of God for salvation. And isn't that what Paul revealed to us in Ephesians chapter 2? "For by grace you have been saved through faith." And that is not a gift. That is not your own doing. It's a gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no man may boast. And the epistle to the Ephesians speaks more about more of the depth of the gospel. And so when we think about the scriptures, the Old and New Testament, we must read them as the external revelation of Christ, who is our prophet. The Bible that we treasure and have in our possession that we can read is part of Christ's exalted ministry, because he compiled it, he wrote it, he inspired it from his exalted seat in heaven when he sent his Spirit to take what was his and give to us through the ministry of the apostles and the inspiration of the scriptures. Well, there is a second mode of external revelation that Paul draws our attention to. And that second mode of external revelation of Christ comes through the office of the pastor teacher. You see, there is a difference between pastors and apostles. Pastors, they carried out that preaching ministry of the apostles, that same function, but pastors are not the means of new revelation. And so if you ever hear a pastor claim that, it might be time to go leave and find another church, or maybe to honor the governance of the church, talk to his elders and make sure that they understand what he means, and maybe he can be corrected. But pastors are not the means of new revelation. Christ gave us his word to read, but Christ also ordained to reveal himself to us through another means, through the preaching of that word. Now, some Christians think that all they need for spiritual growth in this life is their private reading of the Bible. They don't need church. They don't need worship. They don't need pastors and preachers. All they have to do is take their Bible and read it. We call these the me and my Bible folks. But you see, the Apostle Paul revealed that Christ gave pastors to the church to build us up through the outward preaching of the Scriptures, not just the private reading of the Scriptures. And so at this point, if you face and you're tempted to think all you really need is to sit in your room and read your Bible to grow, you have to deal with the wisdom of God. Because if you trust the wisdom of God, you must conclude that our private reading of the Bible is not enough to grow in maturity. We need the revelation of Christ through the preaching ministry that he's given to us through pastors. And in Romans 10, verse 17, when Paul was speaking about pastors, did he not write, "Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ"? And so we need to be biblical Christians. And we need to submit to God's wisdom, not ours, and feed upon the means that he has given to us to reveal himself to us. We saw that Christ revealed his word to us through the inspiration of the Scriptures. But notice that what he reveals about the preaching of the word in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. There Paul wrote, "And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you believers." You see, Paul wrote about the preaching ministry of Silas and Timothy and himself. When they preached the word, the people received it as the word of God. In other words, they received it as the revelation of Christ to them through the pastors he had given to them and sent to them. And so we must understand both the written word and the preached word of God properly. Both are the word of Christ and the revelation of Christ, our exalted prophet, to us. Now, this truth should humble every preacher to preach only the word of God. Otherwise, he will starve the church of the bread of life that they need. And it's true that the Lord calls all of us to be like the Bereans, to test what we hear preached against the Scriptures. But this truth should also transform the way you come to worship and the way you listen to preachers. And there is no motive to have you think preachers are, or lift preachers up in some way. The motive is that you grow. If you want to mature in Christ and to be built up, then listen to the preaching of the Word as you would listen to the Word of Christ. And you see, when you start listening to the Word read and the Word preached, as it is the Word of Christ, then you start hearing it with the authority of Christ. You start softening and opening up your heart to be moved by Christ through this very means, this very gift He gave to us in His exalted ministry. And so I encourage you, I charge you to consider these external means of revelation that Christ has given to us, that you might grow and that you might nourish your soul, that Christ might feed you through these means, through the written word He gave to the apostles and the preached word that He gives to you through the pastors and teachers, that we might grow up in the knowledge of God that is in Christ Jesus and have full assurance of salvation. Now, Christ executes this office of prophet externally through the reading and the preaching of the Scriptures. But I don't know if you've noticed that sometimes this external revelation of Christ doesn't seem effective. If you're married or you have friends and you drive home from church together, you may have had this sort of conversation where you turn to your wife and say, "Why are you so quiet?" And she said, "Wow, that sermon was very meaningful." And you wonder, what were you talking about? Or maybe you bring your friend who's not a believer and he listens to, you know, a Martin Lloyd-Jones sermon or a Sinclair Ferguson sermon, you know, a George Whitfield sermon, and you're like weeping in tears at the gospel. And he says, "So what time do you have to be at work tomorrow?" I don't know if you've noticed it, but you see, sometimes the external revelation of Christ doesn't seem effective. And the truth is, it is not effective by itself. And that is why Paul prayed the way he prayed and prayed the prayer he prayed in Ephesians 3:14. "For this reason I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." You see, Paul prayed that Christ would also reveal Himself to us through His Holy Spirit. You see, without the Word and the Spirit, we will never comprehend the thoughts of God. We will never see the gospel. We will never see our sin as what it really is. And we will never see Jesus Christ as our mediator. And so we are dependent upon God's grace to open the gospel to us through both the Word and the Spirit. And when we receive the reading and the preaching of the Word as the revelation of Christ, and when Christ's Spirit illumines the Word to our hearts, He will build us up into maturity. And we will be rooted and grounded in love, as Paul prayed. And we will have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that we may be filled with all the fullness of God, just as Christ prayed for us. Christ is no longer here physically with us. He's physically located in His glorified body in heaven, but Christ still serves as our mediator. Christ still is the exalted prophet who reveals the Lord to us. And the question for you to answer is, do you benefit from Christ's revelation? Do you benefit and long to receive His prophetic ministry? So here are two suggestions. First, take Paul's example and pray that the Spirit would reveal the Word of God to you when you read it and when you hear it preached. And second, if it's true that Christ reveals the benefits of salvation to us through these external means of His Word, the reading and the preaching of His Word, then we must become a people of His Word. And we must read the Bible regularly. And we must actively listen and attend ourselves to the preaching of the Word every opportunity we get. And we must listen with the expectation that He will build us up as He has been anointed to do as the Christ, as our exalted prophet. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, Your Word is sweet and wonderful. Even the sharp and painful parts that reveal to us our sin are sweet because they also lead us to Your grace and to the cross. Father, Your Word is sweet because it reveals who You are to us, Your sovereignty, Your loving kindness, Your steadfast love, Your holiness, Your righteousness, Your truth, Your justice. So that as we face the difficulties of this life, we might not face them in ignorance, but we might face them as informed believers who know You, what You've revealed to yourself, to us about Yourself, so that we might walk upright in faith and stand steadfast in whatever storms of Your providence You bring to us, so that we might not be tossed to and fro by whatever imagination and heresy that people in their ignorance teach. And Satan and the world with their deceptive motives bring into the church to lead us astray. Father, we ask that You would cause us to benefit from Christ, our mediatorial prophet, and that we would be people of Your Word, that we would value Your Word, that we would long to read it and hear Your voice and Your Spirit speaking to us in Your Word before we hear the voice of any man. And that You might give us faith to understand the great gift it is that You've given to us by sending us pastors, like the Thessalonians, and that we might receive them as the Thessalonians received Paul and Silas and Timothy, and that we might be built up through this ordained ministry You've given to us. And we pray that everywhere, in every part of Your church where You have raised up ministers of the gospel to preach Your Word, the Word of Christ, that You would cause them to be faithful, that You would remove those men who are charlatans, and that You would sanctify and build up those men who need to grow in Your Word, but that You would feed Your people through these wonderful means of grace You've given to us. And we thank You. We thank You for Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, and all the benefits that You've given to us in Him. And as we continue to study Your Word, we pray that You would help us to understand all that He is to us and all that He's provided for us and gives to us, and that we might value it and long to receive it by faith. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.